What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I am Jedi, and with me always is Houdini and Deepaw. What's poppin', boys?
How we doing, boys?
What's good? You know, we're talking about this earlier. It really sucks getting old. Like, I'm not that old, but I don't know how. Like, we got the Super Bowl coming up and what these guys put their bodies through. I sprained my ankle moving like four chairs the other day. Like, what the hell? How do these guys put their bodies on the line for 18 weeks? I don't know how they do it. Even longer, 20 plus weeks.
You know what's wild, though? Like, while getting old, that is so true. At any age, stubbing your toe feels the exact same.
It's true.
What a great observation.
Thank you. It's actually a big fear of mine every time I walk around barefoot.
It could happen if you have socks on.
It could happen at any time.
Right, but barefoot, you see it right away, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you have socks on, you're like, this is bad. And then you have to take your sock off.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to think about it.
I think that's even the scariest part.
Well, normally we start off with a bunch of games, but today I have a few wild stories and just little tidbits, facts that I think you guys are going to like. This is a wild story. A little bit older of a story, but this popped up on my news feed, and I just was made aware of this. I'm curious if you guys have ever heard of this. An Ohio player was drug tested before one of his games per NCAA rules at the time, DJ Cooper. Well, he indeed did pass his drug test, but the test gave everybody a surprise when the result said that DJ, who is male, was pregnant.
Oh, DJ.
Is that like the most embarrassing thing?
Yes.
That could happen to somebody.
He obviously did a good job if he passed the test and like got it from the right person. And have either of you guys ever had an NCAA drug test?
Yes.
No.
I have. They look at everything. So like he had to do a pretty good job of being able to make it happen and not get caught at that point. But damn, dude, do your homework. You got to be the right sex.
I think the bigger question here is was it like his girlfriend, and did he know she was pregnant, or that's how he found out? That's a great question.
My other question is did they mix up the sample, which would be even worse. Because how do you lose my piss? Piss excellence.
What sport was that, Jedi?
Basketball.
Oof. Oh man,
why is Ohio's basketball team getting fucking drug tested? They're like nine and ten.
I have no idea, but it happened, and it's a little bit older of information. Apparently, I thought this was new, but it was just like reliving this wild story. But DJ Cooper, man, what a story that you get to tell people. This next tidbit of information is a cool fact. This is an MLB record that will never be broken. Bartolo Colon has swung at 610 pitches in his career. Do you want to guess how many times his helmet stayed on his head? He is iconic for swinging, and his helmet falls off every time.
How many times it was on his head out of what, 618?
Yes.
610 swings.
How many times it stayed on his head the whole time he swung?
172.
No.
Bartolo Colon's helmet stayed on.
Isn't it like 20?
You're close. Bartolo Colon's helmet only stayed on 27 swings in his career.
That's 600.
That is an MLB record that will for sure never be broken. I promise you that.
Oh, that's so great.
You know, and looking back at it, obviously he was just like not a hitter. I mean, that's clear as day. But if you really start to think about it, like, why did nobody ever help him? Like with his swing?
I don't think Bartolo wanted help.
I mean, dude, he was going up for one purpose.
To hit it far.
He did it once. And he did it one more than the three of us combined. So
you know what's beautiful? You know what's beautiful James about Shield. That? Of those 600 and some pitches, the one home run he hit happened to be the one time it stayed on his head too, the helmet. Beautiful.
This is a pretty cool story that Deepaw sent to the group, but it just has to be mentioned on this podcast so everybody hears about it. Out of Eastern Carolina University, a baseball player on the team, Parker Byrd, lost his leg in a boating accident and had an 18-month recovery. He was obviously determined for his return, but after 22 surgeries, he returned to the field and got his first collegiate hit with his prosthetic leg over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's awesome. I don't know if, like, when you look at sports stories, there'll be – I hope there's do they still do those, like, 30 for 30s and shit? Like, I hope there's a special on them that kind of documents it a little bit. What was the one that Alex Smith was on?
I'm not sure.
When they did
I know they do. Yeah, 30 for 30s had covered it.
I don't know if it was 30 for 30. Might have been like an E60 or whatever it was. I don't know.
It might have been that, yeah.
I hope it's something like that, dude, because that's just unbelievable. I can't imagine losing a toenail, let alone a leg.
From a stub toe.
let alone losing my leg and being able to even compete at all.
Well, yeah, the perseverance is just truly amazing, man. And you know, when I sent that, I didn't realize it was 22 surgeries. So I heard that for the first time right there. That's just unbelievable to do that. And, you know, I think all three of us were athletes. We've played sports our whole life. We wouldn't consider ourselves quitters. We, you know, we're always going to keep going. But man, talk about the adversity to go through and to keep pushing. That is just truly remarkable, man.
100% for sure. Congrats, Parker Bird, if you ever this comes across your page somehow on social media.
Hell yeah.
This was wild over the weekend. The Orioles acquired Corbin Burnes for two prospects, and the Orioles are strongly the favorites for the AL East now. And I don't even think it's close. But one thing that I do think is a little interesting about this is that the Orioles' new ownership, John P. Angelos, we have talked about him before, about how he's a crumb. Yes. He has sold the Baltimore Orioles franchise to a Baltimore native and investor, David Rubenstein, for a whopping $1.725 billion. Now, Angelos was very reluctant to spend money and even joked about how he was never going to extend or give money to Adley Gunner and all their young stars, Jackson Holliday and so on, just because he believed it was a business and about making money. So it's nice to see a change in the front office with a team that's willing to spend money, it looks like. Rubenstein, on his first day, 24 hours, goes out and trades one of his top prospects for one of the best pitchers in baseball.
I tip this move so much. First of all, John P. Angelos was a trash bag of the week. there was a point where you would get on Wikipedia, because you can user edit it, and his middle name was Pussy. So Wikipedia had to take that down. Other than Dan Snyder selling the skins, this is the best move in that area in God knows how long. So
yeah, it's for those fans, man, that's got to be crazy. Both of like Commanders and Orioles all within a month. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And those are two shit owners. Like there's not a good bone in their body. The Orioles come in, dude makes a splash. Oh my God, dude, that threw me for a loop. But I will tell you.
So unexpected.
Very unexpected. But if you look at their roster, is exactly what they needed.
100%.
So.
Yeah.
Are they clear cut AL East? For sure. Are they clear cut to come out of the AL?
Yeah, I was going
to
say AL. Yep.
And honestly, the only, on paper, preseason, the only team that matches up is the Dodgers.
I think those are definitely
or the Braves. Braves,
yeah, I could see either of them, but from the AL, yeah, right now, absolutely the betting favorite, and you know the clear cut favorite in my opinion as well. Just to see it like a true rebuild happen, and then not only the rebuild, but you know people have been talking about how bad of an owner Angelos is for decades. So truly, like that is a momentum changing thing in the entire organization. Shout out to that fan base, man. Being able to experience that is unbelievable. Good for them.
Yeah, that's a home run. No pun intended. Like, that's a home run move, too.
Right. You're trading for arguably what, top five pitcher in baseball right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know some people are going to be in the comments being like, oh, you're underestimating, you know, the Yankees, and then the Rays are always going to be there because they find a way. Look, the Orioles have stayed the same. Nothing has changed. They just got better, and they already won the AL East. The Yankees have done nothing except get Juan Soto. I still don't think that was the answer because their pitching is horrible.
Well, hold on. They got Verdugo,
I saw what I needed to see with them last year, too, with the O's.
I do think Orioles
killed them, though, man. I don't know. The pitching's still not there.
I get it. But the Yankees did get better from last year. The only question is, are they better than the Orioles? The answer is no. And either of the Rays, because McClanahan's done. Yeah. Water's done. And I think you're, it's the Birds' year. It's the Birds' year in the AL.
And just to put their little rotation in perspective, I still think the Orioles do probably go out and get help towards the trade deadline because they still need it for their starting rotation. But now they have Corbin Burnes at the front, Kyle Bradish, who had an excellent second half. I think his ERA was below 3. He was dealing. And then you have Grayson Rodriguez, who was their top prospect that made his debut. And towards the end of the season, he was playing a lot better than he did. So, I mean, you have top three guys right there. And then you have John Means, who was recovering from TJ last year. You know, that's always tough to come back from. So now that he's going to be a year later, maybe he gets back to the John Means that he was, where he was their ace at one time for their club. Yeah. That's a good four spot to have.
And last thing I'll say about it, too, is they were able to do that trade. Yeah, they gave up prospects, but they're still able to keep like all their top prospects. They still have the number one prospect pool in baseball while getting an ace. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm trading prospects any day of the week.
I wouldn't trade Jackson Holliday.
He's close to top prospect in baseball right now, isn't he?
He's number one, but when I saw him like when he was in Double A and he was just like hitting like 380, that guy, he's legit. You know what I mean?
I get it, but I'm saying if some crazy scenario came up where you had to trade him for Lindor or Seager, I'm doing it if I'm chasing a title right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really hedging, the future for the present right there.
So, I mean, I guess to wrap that up, though, the Orioles did get their guy in Corbin Burnes. Just to be clear, though, they did give up their big prospect. It was Joey Ortiz, who's an infielder. The one thing that I do think is interesting about this is that they give up their big prospect, Joey Ortiz, and they acquire Corbin Burnes, but they know he's going to be a free agent next year. So they're right now all in to win this season because they wouldn't have made that move, which I think is really interesting because people still consider them young.
But I feel like they go after him too, knowing that they're going to have a shot to sign him. Like they feel confident enough, like, hey, we're going to have another successful year. Who knows? Maybe win a title, win another AL East pennant or an AL East championship and kind of keep him rolling there for another couple of years.
You nail it on the head. You don't trade for a guy like that unless you think you have a shot. Two is that's why the asking price wasn't extremely large. It was large, but it wasn't like four or five prospects and an MLB ready guy now. So I think that's why they did it. The crazy thing about the Orioles situation is if their new ownership decides to start spending money, holy shit.
Oh yeah.
Run.
Run. Dude, I'm telling you, run.
Yeah.
And anyone that's ever been to Camden Yards will tell you, it is a top five ballpark.
Yeah, it's great ballpark. Yep.
So
amazing.
And dude, in October, that place is pretty lit.
Yeah. Baltimore fans are legit. They are. They come out of hiding.
I think it's always tough in the moment to deal with a loss, especially that they already had a huge breakout year and, they lost in the first round. It's almost, I feel like, good that they lost in the first round. Like, get those dudes even hungrier. They're already young. They got a little taste of it. And now it's like, you want the next step? Work harder and break through it. Like, this could be the breakout year for those in all of baseball.
They have the chance to be like an actual dynasty. Like, we talk about the Dodgers all the time, but their dynasty is being bought right now. Like, they have the chance to be a dynasty that's, like, grown.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Like a Yankees, like a late 90s Yankees thing right now. Yes. They have a chance.
The organic growth dynasties are so much cooler.
Well, and I feel like the Braves are kind of in that situation right now, too. Like, they added Matt Olson, added a couple other pieces.
Yeah, but,
like,
they lost So, like, Freeman was homegrown.
Right.
So, It's interesting because we no longer talk about, this guy was an NL pitcher. Is he going to go over to the AL? Is he going to put up similar numbers because of the no DH and all that stuff? Now it's kind of like, you're getting with the guy.
Exactly. Great point.
So they're getting a clear-cut ace.
Yeah. The last thing that I just want to say, we were talking about run. I think this is and maybe you can blow this out of proportion a little bit, but it's still worth mentioning. The only time that Corbin Burnes has ever faced the New York Yankees was last year. Do you recall what he did?
Did he take a no-hitter in, like, the eighth?
He threw 8 innings of no-hit baseball.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And this was brought this was brought to the attention of Aaron Boone, the manager for the New York Yankees, and he said that the acquisition of Corbin Burns for the Orioles, it could be a bit of a problem.
I love Boone, dude.
They're a little concerned, it sounds like. Tad concerned.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, dude. Each day when I hear Boone talk, I'm starting to like him more and more. I really am. I really am. That dude doesn't sugarcoat shit.
So, you know, if you're a Yankee fan, you know, I'd be a little nervous. The Super Bowl is next Sunday. We're going to do a little quick Super Bowl preview. Nothing too large, but the 49ers and the Chiefs will be in Las Vegas. Who do you both think will win this game? Right now, the 49ers are the favorites. My answer is really simple. I have to go for the 49ers. Do I think that I'll be right? No, because it seems like whenever you doubt Patrick Mahomes, he'll always prove you wrong. But I just want him to lose so badly because I don't want the Travis Kelce to win. I don't want the Taylor Swift thing. You know what really gets me is the fact that all these Swifties started cheering for the Chiefs in their first year of ever being a football fan. Their team goes to the Super Bowl and probably is going to win a Super Bowl. To whereas if you're a fan of like the Dolphins, the Jets, you've just been in pain and misery for decades.
The Commanders.
Am I picking this game on the spread or straight up? Because I'm not even going to entertain the fact that the Skins have me fucking looking for the closest bridge.
What is it? Two and a half points, I think, is the last I saw.
It's two and a half.
Niners minus 2.5, yeah.
I've said before, you never bet against the Chiefs in the playoffs. I'm not betting against the Chiefs now. I do think the Niners are the better team. But there's just no way I can take the Niners. I trust Mahomes more than I trust Purdy. It's kind of what it comes down to. So I'm going to take the Chiefs. And if the Chiefs win, I'm forever going to think, was this thing rigged because of the Swifty kind of thing? But I will say, and I know we talked about it last week, but we're not going to be able to post that. I was rooting for Detroit so bad because at least I could have rooted for a team because I just want to see – That team's fun to watch. I would have much rather it been Lions Chiefs. At least I would have had a little bit of interest in the teams that are playing. But to be honest with you, I'm not trying to put like a damper on the Super Bowl day, but I just really don't give a shit.
Lame.
Yeah, I mean, I'm betting Chiefs. I'm betting Chiefs all day. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to come down and it's going to be kind of one of those, not career defining, but an extremely memorable moment type of game for Mahomes. I think it's going to be one of those, you know, late game heroics, comes down for a touchdown to win the game. I feel like I like more of the Niners players, so I'm kind of torn between it, but I just feel like Mahomes in the postseason is a different animal. It's just like Brady. Like, once those dynasties and once those stud players come around, they just don't like losing in the biggest games, and just something clicks with them and just something changes and they just step up in the biggest moments. It's unbelievable. I guess kind of rooting against the Niners just because, you know, it would be one step closer for them for matching the Steelers Super Bowls for most in the NFL. So I guess I got to go Chiefs, man.
You know, and Patrick Mahomes is going to be a little tied up getting daddy out of jail before he goes to the game.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. And, you know, it will be talked about during the most media-friendly environment in all of sports coming up here during Super Bowl week.
Yeah, Houdini, you kind of nailed it, though. It is a little bit of a lame Super Bowl. But one thing I feel like always the best part about it is the social media stuff, because at least that builds the anticipation. But the 49ers social media team decided to post something that was a little questionable. They posted something getting hyped up for the Super Bowl with all the players wearing their gear. And they said, they captioned it, "Against all odds." Two things. They are favored in the Super Bowl. And two, why are they acting as if they have not been favored in the last 20 games they've played this season?
I know, right? Like, other than that little, they had like a 4-game losing streak or 3-game losing streak. They've been favored in, yeah, you're exactly right, Jedi, in at least like a ton of these games. And everybody had them winning the NFC anyway.
What is with this victim mentality here? Like, what the heck?
Major L from the PR team there.
Like, dude, you had the front runner for the MVP for 13 weeks until he shit the fucking bed. So
best player in football in McCaffrey. Like, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
Yeah, that was very lame of them. But I just thought that was worth mentioning because I love when someone clowns themselves. It's only right that we on Hot Shots, we bring it to everybody's attention because that's what we do love here. But we'll get to the real question here about the Super Bowl is that we do all these picks and all these odds and the bets. But what's the real question here? What color is the Gatorade going to be?
Blue.
And I have some statistics here. In 2017, Patriots won. The Gatorade color was none. They used water. 2018, the Eagles was yellow. 2019, the Patriots was blue. 2020, the Chiefs was orange. That's what I have right now. So for 2024, what color is the Gatorade going to be? I will say this. We haven't seen it in a while. I'm going purple.
Riptide Rush.
Nice. Dude, that's a classic. That's a good flavor. That's a good flavor. That's a good flavor.
Yeah. I'm going to go Carolina Cool Blue, baby.
Damn you, Dino.
Oh no, I'm sorry. That's Glacier Freeze. Cool Blue is Dark Blue. Yeah. I'm going to go Carolina Blue Glacier Freeze.
You know, I think
pick a fucking color.
Wait, let me look at all the colors. Hold on a second.
Give me
red. If the Chiefs are gonna win it, it's gonna be red. Just watch, I'm telling you.
They had orange when they won in 2020.
I'm betting red.
Well, one thing that I think is interesting, or not interesting, is a little tidbit that's kind of funny, is that somebody on TikTok decided to DM every Kansas City Chiefs player and said, hey, I have this little fun game that I'm doing with my sister to where we're having a family event where we're picking what color the Gatorade's going to be. Do you mind telling me so I could win our family bet? Obviously, he's implying that he's going to Vegas if any of them respond.
Yeah, I mean, that family bet happens to be on FanDuel, DraftKings.
Yeah. But that was something that was fun there. But that was our little quick preview of the Super Bowl. That'll take place this upcoming Sunday, the 49ers and the Chiefs. Who do you think will win the game? Let us know in the comments. And what color do you think the Gatorade color will be for the winning team? We are one Sunday away from the Super Bowl, and the 49ers and the Chiefs will face off in Las Vegas. But what's one thing that both of you look forward to when you do watch the Super Bowl? There's some people that don't root for any teams. They actually just root for this.
I mean, I don't root for any team, to be honest with you. Mainly because my team ain't never going to fucking get there.
I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, like, you know, so I watch the Super Bowl because I know I can pound some fucking wings during it. That's it. Like, it's kind of sad, but like. That's really all I look forward to is like I can get some buffalo chicken dip and call it a day.
The Super Bowl spread is pretty. It's got to be memorable, and that is definitely something to look forward to. Something I started looking forward to more recently with the legalization of gambling is the over under on the national anthem. Like, if your team's not in it, I'm betting at least 15, 20 prop bets all game. Like, probably only throwing 50, 60 bucks out, maybe a little bit more, but
a little coin toss. A little coin toss.
What color is the Gatorade going to be that gets dumped on the coach? Like, the little ones, man.
We'll be talking about that in the news trending portion of Hot Shots.
Love it.
But no, I'm surprised you didn't say it. I actually know a few people that root for the Super Bowl commercials. They don't root for any team. That's what they look forward to every year is the commercials. However, I feel like this isn't a hot take. This is just a general statement that everybody agrees with is Super Bowl commercials have gone very much downhill in the past like 20 years. They progressively keep getting worse every year. It's to the point where like nobody really cares anymore, I feel like.
Dude, so it's crazy you bring this up. So when I was a teacher, I taught social media marketing. Their assignment was to write like a one paragraph on their favorite Super Bowl commercial, like the meaning of the commercial, the metaphor behind it, all that stuff. And like every year, dude, like the paragraphs were just getting more fucking boring. Not because of the kids, because the commercials have whiffed every single year.
We've already seen our heyday as far as Super Bowl commercials have gone. There's been a couple here and there, but nothing like we used to see, man.
Yeah, of course. There's like a few, maybe there's like one every year that like I feel like gets a little bit blown up out of proportion just because of how bad the other ones were. But back in like before I was even born, I know the Super Bowl commercials were just every single one was making you laugh and stuff. But I don't know. But today it kind of goes into what we're talking about. We are going to be talking about the best Super Bowl commercials of all time with our rankings. I already did the wheel beforehand. I got first this time. Deepaw sandwiched in the middle just like old times. And then Houdini, you got that three spot.
Deepaw sandwich. All right.
I didn't know we were drafting, so I hope no one takes my shit. Because I have four.
We're only going three. This is not a Mount Rushmore here. We're only going three.
No, I don't even think I could come up with fucking four.
And honestly, to be fair, I hope that nobody has mine too, but mine are none from the 90s, which I'm assuming some of your guys' are. But
I might be at an advantage then, yeah.
Yeah, I'll start. My oldest one came out in the year 2000. This started a cultural movement within society, all right? And you don't see a commercial do this anymore. But the Bud Light "What's Up" commercial was like classic. Influential for society. It was just so like, I don't know who wrote this script, who did it, whatever. Absolute genius. Because everybody still does it.
It was a cultural phenomenon at the time.
When like, I was in elementary school. You couldn't
answer the phone without being saying, "What's up?"
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, dude, like that was like we were giving you shit the other day because you were quoting fucking Taken. Like if you start getting on here going, like I'm going to be pissed. But, dude, like it was so big that like Scary Movie incorporates it into their movie. Like it was a great thing. I remember walking into school with that. And like, you know what I mean? Like
classic.
And, like looking back, you're like, I sound like a fucking idiot, but dude, it was just so awesome.
Love it. Love the 1-1 Jedi. That's a great time.
Yeah. I wasn't alive for it, but I feel like it
was I'll tell you, middle school in the year 2000 was fucking lit.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
I was getting crazy on that eighth grade dance floor.
Oh, you have no idea, dude. Yeah.
Dude, that was like when like Usher was out and like, oh my God.
Lil Jon. Yeah,
was that like Wobble? Was that, who sings that? The Wobble song?
No, it was, From the Window to the Wall, 3-6 Mafia, or not 3-6, Yin Yang Twins.
Yeah, with Little John.
With Little John, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Great one.
Dude, oh my God.
All right, love the 1-1 Jedi.
Just sweat drop down my balls! Dude, like, that dance, like, yo, 8th grade socials were so lit.
Yeah, yeah.
You go play basketball for, like, 20 minutes, and then go in and, like, bump some uglies and then like
eat some za.
Eat some. So oh my lit.
God.
And Deepaw and I went to the same middle school. So like,
yeah, show was fun.
Same fucking fun. Memories.
All right. Great 1-1 Jedi. You know, I would have been fine. If I got that a 2, I would have liked it, but I still have my 1-1 here. Terry Tate, office linebacker. It was a Reebok commercial. Do either of you remember this?
What year was this? Depends.
This was like late 90s, early 2000s. This was like, this is from a while ago.
Is this the one where he was just drilling people in the office?
Yeah. He gets hired by like a company to increase productivity, and anybody who was slacking off would just get absolutely blindsided by a linebacker. Oh, absolutely awesome. If you haven't seen it, you got to watch Terry Tate, office linebacker.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's a really good pick. I actually forgot about the commercial. I got 2 here, back to back.
You got 2 here, bud.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going with the Three Frogs, Bud.
Yes.
Wise.
Yes.
I mean, I'm an idiot, and like that commercial stuck in my head for 15 years. So
they were speaking your language. They were like, "Yes,
why?" Yeah, like, and both of those are the WhatsApp and the Budweiser. That's Budweiser marketing back in the day, man. Both of those are awesome.
You're right. Budweiser's marketing in like that 2000s phase was stupid.
Primo.
I'm also gonna go Bud Light.
Okay,
but I think it's more recent. I can't even necessarily tell the year because there was multiple that I all thought were really good, and it's the Dilly Dilly.
Yeah, and the night too.
Yeah, like I'm not a beer drinker, but I don't know. Like I just someone would be talking shit to me randomly, and I'd just yell out Dilly Dilly. You know what I mean? Like to me, that's like comedy is what makes my commercials the ones that I chose.
And speaking of Bud Light too, shout out to the dog Shane Gillis getting a Bud Light sponsorship and getting on SNL in the same weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I was hyped savage to see the SNL thing.
Hyped for the kid, man.
Yeah, the boy Gillis is blowing up.
It's wild to see. Speaking of, like, dude, just like you're saying, we got the same memories, same kind of thing, dude. Absolutely wild. Love that. That's it. That's a great one. And the Bud Light night, man. That's a great marketing. And Philly just blew up. Philly ran with that during the Super Bowl run. You know, I don't know. I'm going old school here because I feel like you throw this commercial on even now and it's like, damn, give me that Pepsi Cindy Crawford back in the early 90s. Have you seen this Jedi? I know Dino knows it. Have you seen this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, dude, put that clip on. All right. I didn't know it was a Super Bowl commercial until I was doing research, but that is an iconic commercial. Just Cindy Crawford was at her heyday, at her prime. Bending absolute down to get a Pepsi.
Smoke.
Yep. I'll take that all day.
I'll have to look that one up. I'd never even heard of that before. A Pepsi commercial with Cindy Crawford in it, but I'll have to look it up afterwards.
I think it was 1992, Jedi.
All right.
I'm telling you, smoke show. Make sure no one's around you because they're going to think you're doing some weird shit.
Yeah, 10 years before I was born.
I'm doing research, I swear.
It's for a project.
It's my podcast, I swear.
Well, going from the Pepsi one to the Pepsi Cindy Crawford one to mine is like a complete 180 because mine's like the most wholesome Super Bowl commercial that you could get.
Yes.
Mine is called Brotherhood. Do any of you know what it is off the name? It's a series.
I was going to say that. Never mind.
I'm going with the Budweiser commercial. Look, I look forward to this commercial. Every Super Bowl, I look forward to this commercial, and it is the tradition among traditions. The horses one, where you have the horse of the Budweiser commercial. Horses are iconic. The beer is iconic, even though I don't drink because I don't like beer. But it looks like everybody's having a good time in the commercial, and when they are drinking,
that's not true. Budweiser, that's not true.
And they throw in the dog. They throw in the dog too.
You drank with Jelly Roll.
They do.
That was a shot of vodka. That was not beer. I said I don't drink beer.
He got all you, right. Dino.
All right, bud. Whatever you say.
Dude, Anheuser-Busch marketing, dude. Absolutely killing it.
Honestly, I didn't even realize this, but now just based off of our list, I mean, what are we in the top, like,
first?
That was three of them
right there.
I mean, geez, more than half almost.
Yep, exactly half. Three out of the first six. Yeah.
And then going back to back for me, the first trailer, I'm going different. One thing that with the Super Bowl kind of teases always are the big movies that are coming up in the summer or maybe a little later down in the year. And the first trailer that we saw in 2012 was for one of the greatest franchises and the most successful franchise in film history, the original Avengers. It was the first time that we ever saw anything teased where we were seeing all those Marvel characters, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, Hawkeye, Scarlett Johansson, what'd she play? Black Widow, those superheroes coming together. That was like an iconic moment because I don't believe anybody was expecting to see that trailer that day.
Well, and that's huge too. Like of all days to drop that too. Like all the eyes are going to be on it right there. That's great.
Huge. And also too, anybody that says superhero movies are not cinema is a clown because it's just a different type of cinema. Martin Scorsese, that's to you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with what you said, and I agree.
Taking
that, like,
shots at Scorsese.
Yeah, let's go after fucking Scorsese. That's great.
So you too, Spielberg.
Yeah. Fuck you, Christopher Nolan. You know what I mean, like, what are we doing here? It'd be like if George Washington was here, you'd kick him in the balls. Like, what are we doing? So, no, I agree with you. I think any, you can probably, it's probably umbrella it, like any movie that's highly anticipated. If you get a sneak peek or a premiere or something like that during the Super Bowl, it's different. You kind of just wait for it. It's normally in the fourth fucking quarter for a reason. Mm-hmm. But on a completely side note, and I think I told you this after Endgame, I told you Marvel was going to take a shit.
Oh yeah, it definitely has. It's still the most successful franchise though, by far.
No, I agree. But oh my God. You want to talk about falling off, dude? This is like the diamond high school that's like a two now. And you know a couple of those.
Pretty spot on. That was a really good, reference, metaphor for that, or analogy, whatever you want to call it. That was really good.
Yeah.
She peaked in high school and she was fire. 10 years later, no one knows who she is.
What is it, back to me here?
Yes, sir.
You know, honestly, we put this list. What?
Yes, sir. He goes.
I was trying to clear my throat without making a bunch of noise.
It was a cough, yeah. Oh no! You made enough noise. Sound like fucking Mia Khalifa over there.
Yeah, we gotta get that clip and be able to use that. That's fucking great. Oh man. Dude, there's so many on my list. It's honestly too hard to choose from. All right, I'm going with pure comedic value here. I forget what year it was. It was definitely early 2000s when this came out. And man, it's one of those ones that we talk about Super Bowl commercials, and I still crack up thinking about it. It was a Doritos commercial back in the day. Mm. And it was a single mom brings over a boyfriend coming over, and he meets her young son real quick. And he's like, "What's up, little man? How you doing?" And he sits down on the couch, and the little man comes up to him. Or he reaches for his Doritos, eats the Dorito, and the little kid slaps him and says, "Get your hands off my Doritos and your hands off my mama."
I think I've seen that before.
Dude, it's a classic. And I just remember like watching that as it happened and just dying laughing. So that's definitely in my top three for sure.
And you know, I really feel like the commercials have gone downhill because companies are scared to make leaps like that.
It's a good observation.
Exactly. Yeah, but they had a little bit more creativity to them because not everybody got offended about everything. Like, it wasn't going to be about the single mom struggle or anything like that. It's like, it's just a commercial during the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. To finish this one off, I'm going with the E-Trade 2008 Talking Babies.
Yes.
I couldn't remember what company it was because I didn't care at the time. I was like 18. I don't know. I still, to this day, I don't even know what E-Trade is or was. If it's still around.
And it spawned years of commercials too. Like that was around for at least 5 years afterwards.
I've never seen that one. Great number three. So that's another one probably before when I was born, because I don't know what you're talking about. But I will look it up later.
2008, dickhead.
Oh. Well,
damn.
Still don't know it.
How old are you?
7.
Probably asleep, dude.
Jesus Christ. Probably asleep.
Well, that was our quick rankings there for the best Super Bowl commercials of all time. But I do want to leave you with one last commercial that goes unnoticed. Mm. Nothing by means that this specific commercial is iconic, but it started something that is iconic. In 2008, we met Flo from Progressive for the first time.
Wow.
I just want to say.
Absolute baddie.
I don't know. I don't know for sure if she's still doing these commercials.
She is.
She is. But
what a run. It's a hell of a run. What a way to grab the bag, man. I mean, she probably came in there for the first one just to do it once. It was a success. And she now has a job for the past like over a decade.
She had a career.
Yeah.
Who has the bigger career in commercials? Flo or the you causing mayhem like me guy?
Mm.
Flo.
I think Flo. I would have to give it to Flo. I think she's got the longevity. I think you got to give it to Flo there.
I mean, does anybody actually know what her real name is?
No chance. It's Flo.
It's Florence.
Stephanie Courtney. And the last question that I want to ask you guys. Yes, Stephanie Courtney is her name. But anyway, the last thing that I want to say to you guys, is she like the most famous person that like nobody knows their real name, but like everybody knows at the same time? You know, like how you have those actors in movies that it's like, oh, I've seen that guy in like every movie, but I don't know his name. Is she actually that person, even though she's not in movies?
Jedi.
Because everybody knows Flo.
I mean, that's clear front runner off the top of my head. Absolutely. Because everybody would know that's Flo, but I have no idea who that is.
But before we get out of here, though, Houdini, what's your final thought?
All right, so my final thought is actually a video that was sent to me today about the speed. It wasn't speed skating. It was DePaul. What was it?
No, I think it was speed skating.
No, because speed.
It's track. Oh, speed track skating. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it was speed skating, and it was like the Junior Olympics. Mm-hmm. So the strategy in speed skating, it's like 20 laps and it's a short track, and it was the Chinese, correct?
Yeah. I think there's six skaters and it's three teams of two from three countries.
Okay.
So you and a pair, or you and a partner.
Yeah. So I don't think it was six, dude. I think it was 10 or 12. There looked like a lot more than six.
Okay. Regardless. I think
there might have been
you're with pairs.
Yeah, there might have been like 8 to 12, whatever. So it's you and your partner, and the Chinese had this strategy, and I've never seen it before. But when speed skating starts, the first like 6 to 8 laps are kind of slow at pace, and then like the final 5 or 6 laps is fucking mayhem, and it's amazing. The Chinese had this strategy where, off the rip, the one Chinese skater busted her ass around to lap all the way everybody.
Around. Yep.
Right? So now she's a full lap ahead of everybody. Her partner then is kind of just leisurely skating. When they get to the last lap, the announcer says, last lap, but only said it because the one that passed everybody was on the last lap. You following me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody else then crossed the finish line and eased up, thinking the race was over. And her partner hauled ass to then take second behind her because everybody else had to go around one more time.
So cheeky.
It's one of the craziest shit I've ever seen.
And I'm surprised that hasn't, like, is that a common strategy? Like, I'm not up to date on, you know, indoor speed skating. Like, how has that not been thought of before? You know, just have someone bolt right off the jump.
I've never seen partner speed skating before. I've only ever seen solos.
Oh, maybe that's part of it. Maybe it just happened to be two from the same country.
Yeah, so it's just wild to see. And Jedi, when you get a chance, pull the video up. You'll see it. It's like 2 minutes long. It's wild.
Ghost in the door.
It's Max.
Oh.
Yeah, well, one of the best strategies in sports I've ever seen. Like, I've like the hook and ladder, the fucking Music City Miracle, all the shit. This shit is unreal. This shit's unreal. And I would have loved to have been in that conversation for the coach to be like, this is what we're going to do. You're going to bust your ass, lap everybody. And then, Ricky Bobby, mm-hmm. we're going to fucking shake and bake on the last one. But the fucked up thing is like, the partner has to be like, I'll take second.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd be like, why the fuck am I getting second?
See, if you ain't first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about? That phrase is trademark, not to use the position of Ricky Bobby Ng.
I was high when I said that, Ricky.
Ricky. Well, that's all we got here at Hot Shots Podcast. Make sure to subscribe and follow to all of our socials at Hot Shots Podcast. But until then, we'll talk to you next time.